Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 271, titled The Hazard of Dukes. This is being recorded on January 21st of the year 2001. The title is a reference to former Ku Klux Klansman and American Nazi David Duke. That fellow has been active in Russia, and David Duke has also been praised in a magazine called The Southern Partisan, which is a publication of the neo-Confederate movement, which, among other things, has not only received the support of John Ashcroft, the Attorney General designate, but also has been a vehicle for the neo-Confederate movement, and in turn has been endorsed by John Ashcroft. They've endorsed David Duke. They have endorsed and been endorsed by John Ashcroft and his milieu. In any event, we're going to start with David Duke, and by way of illustrating the hazard of Dukes, individual David Duke may proliferate if John Ashcroft and his ilk have their way. We're going to start with an article from the Los Angeles Times of January 6th of the year 2001. This article is by John Daniszewski, Daniszewski, of the LA Times. It's datelined Moscow and headlined, "Ex-Klansman David Duke Sets His Sights on Russian Bigots," and again by way of illustrating the hazard of Dukes. Lost track of David Duke, who first made a name for himself in the 1970s as the supposed fresh modern face of the Ku Klux Klan? If so, his latest opus can be found here, on sale in Russia's parliament. Please note that it's on sale in Russia's parliament. By the way, the new fresh face of the Ku Klux Klan might be said to be John Ashcroft, who again has spoken favorably of a publication which endorsed not only David Duke, but also the Ku Klux Klan. More about that, however, later. Please note that this particular volume can be found on sale in Russia's parliament. Continuing. For the past 2 years, the man who promised to move the Klan out of the cow pasture and into the hotel meeting room has been spending more and more time in a rented Moscow apartment building bridges to right-wing nationalists in the new Russia. He has held a rally at a respected literary museum, signed autographs at the Russian Writers Union, and met with members of parliament, including a retired Soviet general, Albert Makashov, who is known for anti-Semitic remarks. By the way, Albert Makashov is discussed in a previous For the Record program dealing with Russian fascism. Continuing. And the preface to Duke's book was written by one of ex-President Boris N. Yeltsin's former ministers. Since last month, bookstalls operating next to the cafeteria in the Duma, Parliament's lower house, have been selling Duke's first book in Russian, The Jewish Question Through the Eyes of an American. According to local office of the Anti-Defamation League, the book, with a glossy back cover portraying a suited, serious-looking Duke, is a classic anti-Semitic tract and appears to have been selling briskly. Boris S. Milanov, the former Yeltsin press minister who helped arrange a December news conference for Duke to launch his book, said he has been getting calls since from other regions of Russia seeking copies. Milanov is a self-described anti-Semite who is secretary of the nationalist-dominated Russian Writers Union and chairman of the Slavic Union of Journalists. Duke, who has been in Russia since November, did not respond to an interview request relayed to an associate this week. The former Klansman served in the Louisiana legislature in the 1980s and ran for the U.S. Senate from Louisiana in 1990. Until recently, he was an elected committeeman of the Republican Party in his home Louisiana parish. He left the Klan years ago and now presents himself as the president of a group he calls the National Organization for European American Rights. By the way, in For the Record program number 197 about pro-fascist historical revisionism, we dealt with Duke's new organization and also the neo-Confederate movement and the Southern Partisan. Again, one of the major journalistic organs of the neo-Confederate movement has featured an interview with John Ashcroft, in which John Ashcroft, the Attorney General designate, endorses not only the Southern Partisan but also some of the shocking views that they espouse. And again, one of the people that they have endorsed in the past is David Duke. Continuing. Speaking of Duke's book, 5,000 copies of his book have been published here. By the way, that's in Russia, though it remains to be seen if he will develop any real following in Russia. One right-wing editor said he doubts that Duke will win a large constituency, not because people don't agree with Duke, but because his thoughts are not original. According to leading Russian pollster Yuri A. Levada, L-E-V-A-D-A, anti-Jewish sentiments are not representative of Russians as a whole. The number of rabid anti-Semites is relatively small at about 3-4% of the population, he said. Quote, David Duke apparently is flirting with this particular lot, unquote. Lovato said he is not too concerned about Duke, but he does worry that his compatriots have been too sanguine about Duke's proselytizing. Quote, the real problem is there is no anti-anti-Semitism, that anti-Semitism meets no overt public reprimand, he said, again quoting, the borderlines between the admissible and the inadmissible start to blur, he warned, and people can no longer tell good from evil. Asserting that the white race, unquote, is facing a genetic catastrophe, unquote, Duke argues that Russia can play a pivotal role. Quote, Russia is a white nation. Of the many capital cities of Europe, it is accurate to say that Moscow is the whitest of them all, he proclaims in one tract. In his book, Duke blames Jews for the evils of the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. Currently, he charges, Jews are behind the Russian mafia, and Russia is being plundered by the Jewish oligarchs, unquote. Lev Krechishevsky, K-R-I-C-H-E-V-S-K-Y, director of the ADL Center on Anti-Semitism and Extremism in Russia, said authorities need to act against such anti-Semitic propaganda, which he said openly flouts existing anti-hate laws. He senses that Russian nationalists are getting bolder. Quote, the major problem is the way the authorities and law enforcement forces respond when there are incidents. Reaction never happens, Krechishevsky complained, again quoting, David Duke's visit here, and the way he feels almost at home in this city, testifies to this change, unquote. And again, David Duke has received the endorsement of, among other institutions, a magazine called the Southern Partisan Quarterly Review. And among the people who have endorsed the Southern Partisan Quarterly Review and been interviewed by it is, again, former Attorney General Designate John Ashcroft. Now, there was a bit of wishful thinking. There was a column about Ashcroft's nomination in the New York Times of Thursday, January 18th of the year 2001. This column is by Bob Herbert. It's titled Unseemly Alliances. And of Ashcroft's nomination, we read, skipping down, the Senate may confirm Mr. Ashcroft, but nothing will change the fact that his nomination is a slap in the face for those who feel strongly about racial justice. He fought like someone possessed against all efforts to desegregate the public schools in and around St. Louis when he was Attorney General and then Governor of Missouri. And he spoke glowingly of Southern Partisan Quarterly Review, a gruesomely racist magazine. As the watchdog publication Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR, has said, quote, when Attorney General nominee John Ashcroft praised the neo-Confederate magazine Southern Partisan, he was endorsing a publication that defends slavery, white separatism, apartheid, and David Duke, unquote. Southern Partisan is a sick magazine. It giddily celebrates the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Joyful references to his murder can be found in issue after issue. Of John Wilkes Booth, one writer said, quote, his behavior was not only sane but sensible, unquote. Another writer referred to the Emancipation Proclamation as, quote, an invitation to the slaves to rise up against their masters, unquote. Leaders of the Ku Klux Klan are praised, and a wide range of ethnic groups are slurred. One contributor wrote, quote, as the genetic racial pool in the United States from which the democratic government originally derived is dissipated in successive tides of immigration, our country is being overwhelmed, unquote. So what does John Ashcroft have to say about this publication? I quote, your magazine also helps set the record straight. You've got a heritage of doing that, of defending Southern patriots like Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and the Confederate President Jefferson Davis. Traditionalists must do more. I've got to do more. We've all got to stand up in this respect, or else we'll be taught that these people were giving their lives, subscribing their sacred fortunes and their honor to some perverted agenda, unquote. That agenda, by the way, would be slavery, and there are those who would claim that that is indeed a perverted agenda, and I would be among them. Continuing with Barb Herbert's column, Questions about Bob Jones, that's the head of Bob Jones University, an openly racist university in the South where Ashcroft once spoke. Questions about Bob Jones and Southern Partisan came up at Mr. Ashcroft's confirmation hearing yesterday. He said he rejected racial and religious intolerance. But the man who should be called to account for this appallingly divisive nomination is George W. Bush, whose inaugural festivities get underway today at the Lincoln Memorial. And we're now going to read from a media advisory from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, quoting from the Southern Partisan Quarterly Review. And in addition to the endorsements of David Duke and some of the quotes that you saw there or heard there in the Bob Herbert column, we're going to examine some of the equal opportunity destroyer qualities of the Southern Partisan. By the way, in past discussions of David Duke, including For the Record Program 197, RFA 13, and Miscellaneous Archive Show M52, we've examined circumstantial evidence that David Duke may have connections to the intelligence community of the United States. Again, RFA 13, Miscellaneous Archive Show M52, and For the Record Program number 197. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience who emailed this to me at my email address, demory@kfjc.org. This is a media advisory by the media watchdog group FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. You can visit their website at www.fair.org/extra. Okay. This is, again, entitled Media Advisory, Southern Partisan, Setting the Record Straight. Subtitled Attorney General Nominee Praised White Supremacist Magazine. And it begins with this quote. Again, this is in the Bob Herbert column. Your magazine helps set the record straight. Beginning a quote, your magazine also helps set the record straight. You've got a heritage of doing that, of defending Southern patriots like General Robert E. Lee, General Stonewall Jackson, and Confederate President Jefferson Davis. Traditionalists must do more. I've got to do more. We've all got to stand up and speak in this respect, or else we'll be taught that these people were giving their lives, subscribing their sacred fortunes and their honor to some perverted agenda. That in an interview with John Ashcroft in the Southern Partisan Quarterly Review from the second quarter of 1998. Fair then goes on to comment, when Attorney General nominee John Ashcroft praised the neo-Confederate magazine Southern Partisan, he was endorsing a publication that defends slavery, white separatism, apartheid, and David Duke, a publication that celebrates the assassination of Abraham Lincoln while delivering a, quote, mixed review, unquote, of Lincoln's assassin, that from the Southern Partisan's second quarter of 1990. Though Southern Partisan is the leading magazine of the neo-Confederate movement, it really is much more than a gumbo of racist apologias, unquote, as the New Republic put it last year, January 31st of the year 2000. Southern Partisan's bigotry targets virtually anyone who isn't a straight white male neo-Confederate. Southern Partisan practices equal opportunity bigotry. Here's a sample of opinion from the magazine John Ashcroft says, quote, sets the record straight, unquote. On slavery. Neither Jesus nor the apostles nor the early church condemned slavery, despite countless opportunities to do so, and there is no indication that slavery is contrary to Christian ethics or that any serious theologian before modern times ever thought it was. That from Samuel Francis of the Southern Partisan third quarter of 1995. Quote, slave owners did not have a practice of breaking up slave families. If anything, they encouraged strong slave families to further the slaves' peace and happiness, unquote. That from Southern Partisan of first quarter in 1996. On Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is a consummate conniver, manipulator, and a liar, unquote. Southern Partisan cited in Legal Times February 26, 1996. The spring 1984 issue refers to the sinister Emancipation Proclamation of President Lincoln, an invitation to slaves to rise against their masters, unquote. On John Wilkes Booth, quote, his behavior was not only sane but sensible. His background, loyalties, beliefs, and experiences had led him to that end, unquote. That written by Mark Brewer for the Southern Partisan second quarter of 1990. Fair then goes on to comment, For years, Southern Partisan has celebrated the murder of Abraham Lincoln by selling T-shirts with Lincoln's image over the words, "Sic semper tyrannis, thus always to tyrants." John Wilkes Booth's cry just after shooting Lincoln. Timothy McVeigh was wearing this T-shirt when he was arrested for the Oklahoma City bombing. That reported in the New York Times of January 3rd of 1997. By the way, I would note that there is a link between the milieu of the Oklahoma City bombing and the neo-Confederate movement, that being white supremacist attorney Kirk Lyons. Kirk Lyons was called by Timothy McVeigh 15 minutes before the Oklahoma City bombing. He's the attorney for Andreas Strassmeier, the German Army officer and son of Helmut Kohl, former chief of staff Gunter Strassmeier, the architect of German reunification. He was the attorney for Andreas Strassmeier and visited with his father. Kirk Lyons has numerous connections to the Aryan nations, to the milieu of the Oklahoma City bombing, and even has evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman and the framing of O.J. Simpson, as we've looked at in discussions of the book Blood Oath. Continuing, on the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan's first Grand Wizard, Civil War General Nathan Bedford Forrest, cited as evidence that, quote, "the Confederacy was full of superheroes," unquote. That from the fourth quarter of 1996. The Southern Partisan praised former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke as, quote, "a candidate concerned about affirmative discrimination, welfare profligacy, the taxation holocaust, a populist spokesperson for a recapturing of the American ideal," unquote. That from the fourth quarter of 1990. Hence, by the way, the title of this broadcast, The Hazard of Dukes, because David Dukes may very well be proliferating if, in fact, John Ashcroft becomes Attorney General. More about Southern Partisan as an equal opportunity destroyer. On South African history, quote, "God led the Afrikaners into the Transvaal. It was with God that they made their prayerful covenant when they were besieged by bloodthirsty savages on all sides." That from the fall of 1986 and the winter of 1987. On feminism. "Feminism is a revolt against God," unquote. That from the first quarter of 2000. Again quoting, "feminists, ethnic minorities, sodomites, and other victims of majority culture are demanding special recognition and privileged status." That from the second quarter of 1992. On homosexuality, the University of Georgia, quote, "promotes perversion," unquote, by sponsoring programs for gay men and lesbians. Same-sex marriage is a, quote, "vile act of blasphemy," unquote. That from the first quarter of 1997. Again quoting, "the acts of sodomy are probably the most repulsive desecrations in the sexual order. The terrible swift sword of the dread AIDS disease is surely what in other ages would be acknowledged a sign of God's wrath. It is only the least subtle notice of divine displeasure with the swinishness of our age," unquote. That from Reed Buckley, the winter of 1986. In numerous broadcasts, first archived in RFA 16 from April of 1986, the probability that AIDS is a not only deliberately created disease, but the application of genetic engineering to biological warfare was discussed and analyzed at considerable depth. There are numerous programs about that subject available from Spitfire. More about some of the views of Southern Partisan endorsed by and endorsing John Ashcroft. On everyone but, quote, us, unquote. "Newly arrived in New York City, I puzzled, where are the Americans? For I met only Italians, Jews, and Puerto Ricans." That written by Patrick Brophy in the second quarter of 1991. "What Southerner feels at home in Miami these days? A city 56% Spanish-speaking that includes not only Cubans, but numbers of cocaine-pushing, trigger-happy Colombians." By the way, the Bush family might appear to be some of those. That written by Alan Charles in the summer of 1982. Melting pot, an instrument by which distinct forms of distinct material are melted into a common sludge. That from the Partisan Dictionary, spring and summer of 1981. "The tides of immigration turned negative and were characterized by the losers of political history, the Italians and the Irish, the dull-spirited and pagan, such as the Scandinavians, and by people to whom the tenets of our republic were altogether alien, such as the hieratic Jews. Negroes, Asians, and Orientals, is Japan the exception, Hispanics, Latins, and Eastern Europeans have no temperament for democracy, never had, and probably never will. Again, they get just about everybody here. There's more. As the genetic racial pool in the United States from which the Democratic government originally derived has dissipated in successive tides of immigration, our country is being overwhelmed. Unquote, that written by Reed Buckley in the summer of 1984. A summer 1983 article denounced the deliberate lies, unquote, of the U.S. Declaration of Independence, including, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal," unquote. Until the late 1990s, Boyd Caffey was listed alongside Pat Buchanan as a senior advisor to Southern Partisan. As late as 1992, Caffey was an editorial advisor to the Journal of Historical Review, the leading journal of Holocaust denial. That from the Legal Times of February 26th of 1996. And in the aforementioned For the Record program 197, overlaps between the neo-Confederate movement and the Holocaust denial movement are discussed in considerable detail. On secession, quote, "The best hope, perhaps the only hope for the South, lies in an independent Southern nation where we can at last be free to pursue the life we desire," unquote. That from the third quarter of 1997. The public rely on media to expose cabinet nominees to tough scrutiny, but so far the mainstream media hasn't seriously taken up the question of whether Americans will be well served by an attorney general who sees Southern Partisan's bigotry and revisionist history as patriotic, quote, "straight talk," unquote. Again, that a fair media advisory, and at least Bob Herbert of the New York Times, among other publications, has dealt with this issue. Now, one of the excuses used by John Ashcroft to help deep six the nomination of Justice Ronnie White, a black federal judicial nominee nominated by the Clinton administration and rejected by the Republicans, was, John Ashcroft said he was pro-criminal. Well, not only does the record not show that he was pro-criminal, but there is disturbing evidence that at least in some cases John Ashcroft has been, at least when those criminals appear to be fascists and white supremacists. We're going to read now from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, January 19th of the year 2001. This is an article by Zachary Coyle, C-O-I-L-E, and Louis Friedberg, F-R-E-E-D-B-E-R-G, of the Chronicle. It's datelined Washington and headlined, "Ashcroft Unfair in His Criticism, Judge Says." And skipping down in the article, we read, "Democrats of the committee accused Ashcroft of using White's nomination to make the death penalty an issue in his tight re-election race last year against the late Missouri Governor Mel Carnahan. Ashcroft lost the election to Carnahan, who was killed in an airplane crash, and Carnahan's widow Jean was appointed to the Senate by the state's Democratic governor. You, Judge White, were the victim of this political calculation," says Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat of Illinois. In his testimony Wednesday, Ashcroft said his opposition was driven by White's decision to reverse a death penalty sentence in a particular murder case. The defendant had confessed to shooting three sheriff's deputies and the sheriff's wife in the town of California, Missouri. And again, another commentary on Ashcroft's opposition to Justice White's nomination. It was said that Ashcroft saw him as pro-criminal, and indeed law enforcement agencies have rejected that particular allegation. Note one particular criminal, an accused would-be murderer, to whose defense John Ashcroft has rallied, and note in particular this particular fellow, associated with the Conservative Citizens Council, the successor to the White Citizens Council, and associated with the militia milieu, had plotted, according to a number of sources, very credible sources, to murder an FBI agent and a federal witness. Now, again, the support for this guy, a dentist named Dr. Sell, was marshaled by John Ashcroft, who was supposed to become Attorney General. And again, listen to one fellow, a criminal that John Ashcroft is rallying, to whose defense John Ashcroft has been rallying, and again ask who, in fact, is pro-criminal, and consider the implications of allowing an Attorney General who has sanctioned the case of someone who apparently was plotting to murder an FBI agent and a federal witness. The following is from the New York Observer of January 18th of the year 2001. This was authored by Joe Conason, C-O-N-A-S-O-N. It's titled, "Why Did Ashcroft Try to Help Dr. Sell?" That's S-E-L-L, and it reads as follows. "During his long political career, tough John Ashcroft has rarely, if ever, spoken out on behalf of the rights of criminal defendants. He carried out 7 executions as the governor of Missouri. In the Senate, he supported fewer protections for death row inmates as well as harsher penalties for juvenile offenders. He opposes expanded treatment for drug offenders. Last year, he fiercely and successfully opposed the nomination of Ronnie White to a federal judgeship because the black jurist is supposedly pro-criminal, unquote. But there's at least one criminal defendant for whom Mr. Ashcroft, now awaiting confirmation as U.S. Attorney General, has demonstrated real concern. That would be Dr. Charles T. Sell, a St. Louis dentist indicted by the Justice Department on charges that include conspiracy to murder an FBI agent and a federal witness. The strange case of Dr. Sell, imprisoned for much of the past 3 years in the psychiatric ward of the federal prison in Springfield, Missouri, began in May of 1997 when he was arrested in his office by federal agents on charges of defrauding Medicaid. A year later, the government charged the dentist and his wife, Mary Sell, with plotting to kill the FBI agent who arrested him, as well as a former employee who was the chief witness against him. The evidence includes taped conversations described as incriminating by a St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter who listened to them, and statements by a couple who say the Sells tried to hire them to carry out the murders. While serving as a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Mr. Ashcroft made several inquiries to the Justice Department on behalf of the dentist, according to Gordon Baum, head of the Council of Conservative Citizens, a militant white racialist group headquartered in Missouri, and the Post-Dispatch. As recently as last September, while he campaigned for re-election to the Senate, Mr. Ashcroft met personally with a prominent CCC member named Thomas Bugle to discuss how he could assist Dr. Sell. The case has remained in legal limbo since 1998 because federal authorities believe Dr. Sell is mentally ill and therefore unfit to stand trial. While incarcerated, he has refused to take antipsychotic drugs prescribed by a government psychiatrist. He believes that the Clinton administration is persecuting him because, as an Army Reserve officer, he criticized the government's conduct during the Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas. Federal prosecutors have declined to comment on the case, but his prosecution and imprisonment have become a cause célèbre among leaders of the CCC. Mr. Baum, who resides near St. Louis, confirmed that Dr. Sell has been a staunch CCC member. He advertised his dental services on Mr. Baum's radio program, and as a long friend and former patient, Mr. Baum added that he firmly believes in the accused dentist's professed innocence. Quote, "We as an organization have never made any efforts to be involved in Dr. Sell's plight," insisted Mr. Baum, who gained notoriety briefly in 1998 following media reports about Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott's involvement with the CCC's Mississippi chapter. He said he doubted that Mr. Ashcroft's assistance to Dr. Sell had anything to do with his CCC connections, unquote. Or, quote, "Everything has been done by individuals, and they probably kept the CCC out of it," he said. Yet reports about the case appear on the CCC website, where Mr. Ashcroft's nomination as Attorney General was recently lauded because of hopes that he will free Dr. Sell. And again, Ashcroft has been very, very active on behalf of Dr. Sell, who was plotting to murder, according to credible sources, an FBI agent who arrested him and a federal witness. And again, who is pro-criminal? The various tapes that I've alluded to are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire, that's S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Email is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can visit their website at www.spitfirelist.com. That concludes For the Record program number 271, The Hazard of Dukes, being recorded on January 21st of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.